The first thing I want to tell you is probably about 30 years ago, some of these experiences I placed in my book, Prepare for the Winds of Change, and another book that I wrote, The Ever-Speaking Voice of God, which is prophetic utterances from the Lord. And here, as we have read Joel chapter 2, and I'm hearing what is being read, the Lord reminded me how in those early years, some, like I said, 30 years ago or so, three times an angel or the Lord would come and get me, three different times would come and get me from the place that I was praying, take me up into the sky. I don't want to say the heavens, because we weren't flying that far up, but close enough that I could survey the ground as we flew by it. And he would take me, one trip was from west to east coast, and then of course back, because I live in the west. One trip was just funny maneuvers around the country. Another trip took me to specific locations in the country to show me specific kinds of damage that the country had sustained. And sometime after the third experience, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I have shown you all that I showed to my prophet Joel. And I want you to know, without prayer, it will all happen. There must be prayer. There must be repentance, or the curse will be released. And so here we are. This should have happened already. We should have gone through this, the entire book of Joel, already. But because of people like you who have joined us in the commission of the Lord didn't speak to me in a dream. He didn't speak to me in a word of knowledge. He took me to heaven and he commissioned me to start what he called the work of the gatherings, of which you were a part. And he told me what to do, how to do it, and it just seemed overwhelming. It just seemed so overwhelming to me. I suggested to him that there were other very large ministries in our nation that would love to do this for you, Lord. Why don't you call one of those ministries? And he said to me, because I created you to do this work, and if you do it, then I will send a mighty move of revival in America before I let destruction come. And I said, you will? He said, yes, and I'll show you exactly what, how, and when to do what you need to do. Will you? And just as I was getting ready to answer him, he said, I want you to think now. It's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done. The enemy will fight you like he has never fought you before, because he was told by Lucifer, the Lord of Darkness, that he wants America in Israel for himself, and that they are to stop at nothing to ensure that America will be his and Israel will be his. So the Satanic Kingdom is brooding and hooting and hollering and stamping and just everything they can think of to do, you know, throwing a few lightning flashes to scare people because they're so angry because they're losing. And they're losing so much greater than they ever thought they would. And it's because God wants America. Trust me, He wants America more than America wants Him. So this is very, very exciting. But regardless of His passion for our nation, He has a problem with us. And that problem pertains to darkness, pride, greed, everything that you would want not to see in America, or at least not exalted in America the way it is what America has come to love. They love the worship of man. They love the power that they have through money, among other things. And America doesn't want to lose that. But God has to convince us that purity, innocence, righteousness, things that are so important to Him are far more beautiful, far more enjoyable, far more pleasant, far more productive than anything of the materialism that the world has to offer. So knowing that there would be a group of people whom we call the elite that would do everything in their power to bring Joel, the book of Joel, bring it to pass over this nation. He had a plan. Praise God. I love Him so much. He had a plan, and you were part of it. The elite have spent billions of dollars to destroy this nation, and you can't imagine what it must feel like to them that everything they try to do anymore seems to be getting overturned. In fact, it's been so bad they had a special meeting about it over in Europe. And one of their members got up, a man who's high in the New World Order, and said, "I've got nothing but bad news to give you people. I don't know what's going on." He's crying. "I don't know what's going on. I can't figure it out. But everything we touch seems to be falling through our fingers. We think it's going to work out one way, and it works. It doesn't work out. It doesn't work out at all. It gets overturned. Somehow, before what we want to see accomplished can be accomplished." That's what he told the majestic leaders of the New World Order. Doesn't that sound like a brave flock? Amazing. I talked to one Christian leader after that, told that Christian leader who has many friends that he knows are involved with the New World Order, and while he doesn't talk about what God's doing, they love to talk to him about what they're doing. And they told him the same thing. So I told him what I heard, and he said, "It's true. Prayer is changing things." They think they're going to accomplish so much, but just when they're absolutely certain no one, nothing can stop where they're going, they're going to find out where they're going is to a place a little different than what they thought. But their plans will not go with them. But I think God's going to let them do a little bit more, because he really wants the people of America to see what they've been saved from. But for you who love Jesus and who love this nation, that's not a sin, you know, and who love this nation, God has a plan. In the morning, on 2/22/23, this is what the Lord gave me. Revival. This awakening to the Lord of heaven and earth. It is Emmanuel that is coming. God with us. God in us. This revival is the fire of the revelation of God and can be the all-consuming fire of God to you should you desire it. Something new, something magnificent is coming to the people of God. It is holy. It is majesty. It is glorious. It is revelatory. It carries in its bosom visions from on high, visits to the place where the august author of life is universally known and ever revealing himself as he purposed from the beginning when God created Adam. It is a time of presence, so transforming that you will experience who you were meant to be. Faith, joy, abounding with the knowledge of God as he really is. Love so pure, saturated with excellency, a richness so profuse beyond worldly gain, above material gain, provisions of glorious expressions of the truth ever inculcating your spirit and life. Christ, the giver of the fatness of divine revelation and impartations of the experiential knowledge of the Father, will reign through his church. This revival at its apex is Hebrews 1:1-3. Come alive in your spirit and your understanding. I want to read that passage to you. Boy, the presence of God is so filling this house, I can hardly think to read. John, would you mind reading Hebrews 1:1-3 in the Amplified, please?
Sure. Okay. 1:1-3.
Yes.
In many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers and in and by the prophets. But in the last of these days, he has spoken to us in the person of a Son, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being the outrain or radiance of the divine, and he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power, when he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high.
Thank you, John. My dear friends, when I say that what's coming is an enlivening of Hebrews chapter 1, 1 to 3, I could not have said anything more true, because when the Lord came to me and gave me this word, that was what he said. It's true. Has Christ come? Has he brought forth the Son of God, the Son of Life, the excellency of the knowledge of God? He has, but we have not seen it. That revelation was reserved for this hour. Many will see and believe. Many will come to know that life as a Christian is so far higher, so far greater, so much more beautiful, filled with majesty and glory and holiness and righteousness, filled with love and joy and peace, filled with essence of God, substance of his very character, his nature, by the power of his Spirit. When he does a work in you that is likened unto where he is taking those who will follow in these last days, you will not know yourself when he is done. The changes are so magnanimous. They're full of God in you. They're full of not just the revelation, but the recreation of your person in the revelation of God. Now, can you understand that? It would be very, very difficult if you didn't have those kind of experiences with him. He can say more in 15 seconds of experience than we can say in hours of talking. We can say it and never really be able to help you fully understand. He can grant an experience, and you're standing there saying, oh my goodness, this is what he has been trying to say. When he brings you to this place of transformation, you will not know yourself. We talk about all the physical miracles that he's going to do in these last days. But having gone through what I've gone through with him, being taken where I've been taken, living within where he has placed me to live within, I have to tell you, the only thing that is a greater miracle than childbirth, the birth of a human baby, the only thing that is of a greater miracle is a saint who has been recreated in Christ. man filled with the loveliness, the beauty, the godliness, the holiness, the purity, the ever-living, eternal revelations of life now and forevermore. That is a greater miracle. And it is as beautiful as a newborn baby when that baby is laid in your arms. God doesn't want us running from Him. He wants us running to Him. But if the world is too comfortable, when He asks us of something that we know not of, or that we are too fearful to embrace, we can run away. But when the world has come to a place where it is no longer profitable for us to run in that direction, we will turn and run to Him, the revealer of the Father. I love verse 3. Let's read that again. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outradiance or the radiance of the divine. That one line alone is enough to last you through eternity. It's so beautiful and so packed full of revelation. And He is perfect. He is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. Can you imagine Christ being the perfect image of God's nature? How do we ascertain what that means? We can go to many scriptures in the Bible and at least get a fair idea. But God is so much greater than any revelation He's given to man. And every revelation is more beautiful than the last. Upholding, maintaining, and guiding, and propelling the universe by His mighty word of power. Oh my goodness. We pray and pray and pray for healing. I remember my grandson when he was about 4 years old. I love to tell this story. It was so cute. Connor has always been more intelligent than his age, and I think that was very frustrating to him, even at a young age. But in this situation, he had to teach us what he understood. So he had hurt his leg that day, and Ricky had done what she always did, and that was to go in and pray with her children before putting them in bed. So she prayed with them and prayed for Connor's leg. Connor climbed up in bed, and he said, "Mommy, it's all gone. The pain is all gone. Mommy, guess what? Jesus came out of my heart, went down through my tummy, down through my leg, right to where it hurt, and healed it, and then climbed clear back up into my heart just to heal my leg." Ricky and I laughed so hard. Oh, the mind of a four-year-old, I'll tell you. So, you know, there's a lot of things that Jesus can do, even when He's very, very small. Small enough to fit in the heart of a four-year-old. We when he had by offering himself accomplished the cleansing of our sins and riddance of our guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. We're going to see all this. We're going to see what it means. We're going to see the truth of things. One time I was ministering at a YWAM base, and this was, again, probably 2 decades or more ago, when suddenly Jesus appeared in the room, standing just over the heads of the people who were sitting in this classroom. And as he came in, something appeared over to my right, swept through my head, took my vision on a journey so fast, I can't believe that I remembered even one thing of what I thought, but I remembered many things. Took my mind and my vision on a journey from the beginning of creation until present day and then on into the future. And it landed, it telescoped in right into the Lord's belly. I was so undone that the students and those who were the head of that YWAM base, everybody was stunned by what had just happened. But at the end of that experience, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The word had stood before me and revealed his workings. I saw every major biblical event that there was. Bam, 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 bam. Just like that, that fast. And the one who held it all together with his own word of power was in front of us, showing us his own majesty. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. I think the whole desiring body of Christ should be able to be spoon-fed by the very word of God himself. And he is going to do that to many in this next move. What you want to do is what Joel 2 just said. Fast. Pray. Repent. If you can get your church leaders to come together, pray, repent, and believe God for a mighty revelation of Jesus Christ in their church, I think he would come. He has come to us. He's the one. He's the first one in America to call what is happening the Great Awakening. And now I'm hearing it spoken by college students, by colleges themselves, by Christian leaders. But they're speaking the word that God himself, the name that God himself gave to what he's doing. And what are we being awakened to? The revelation of the Lord of heaven and earth. Revelation that was reserved for these last days. Revelation that has never been spoken before, never been felt before. There are those who never even thought it was thinkable before. But it's coming. And it's coming very close at hand. Get ready. When I wrote my book, Prepare for the Winds of Change, wherever I could, I put the words, prepare. Prepare. There is tough stuff coming as God continues to awaken America to their need for Christ. But even so, the glories of heaven and earth are going to be sent into this nation to be carried around the world. So think it not a small thing, anything that we're going through or ever will go through for him, because he is making in us a bride that knows her husband and will glorify him in the earth. Let us pray. What do we do, Lord, my Father, my God? What do we do? How can we love you more? How can we know you deeper? How can the revelations be as vast as the oceans and we can contain it? How we want to know the wonders of your person. So mighty, so powerful, so beautiful, so exceptional, majesty, glory, honor be unto you. We see you, Lord, with our eyes, and we fall before your face. We fall before your throne. We fall before your feet, Lord, because we know that we are unworthy, but we are loved. We are loved by you so much that you went to the cross for us, and we are loved by our Father so much that he let even ask his Son to rescue the bride, knowing what it would cost. We're not worthy, but we are loved. And in your mercy, in your grace, and oh God, by your greater glory, you are going to reveal the beauties and the wonders of your person through your church. The world will come to see why we love you so much. They may never understand it, but we hope that they will understand it and that they will fall before you for the sake of their souls. As we pray tonight, Lord, take every prayer we pray, wrap it in your glory and in your fire, and speak your answer to it, that we may rejoice. Glorious, glorious Jesus, how we love you, we worship you, we honor you, we praise you. Oh Jesus, you are wonderful, wonderful to behold. You are so wonderful, Prince of Peace. You are wonderful. Oh, Lord, you are wonderful. Your majesty greater than anything else on earth. wonderful. Answer their prayers, Lord. Give those who are praying with us the joy of feeling this awakening upon them as they pray and their hearts turn to hunger greater than anything they've known. In your precious name. Amen.